bless all of you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We want to take a moment to acknowledge the pastor, the angel of this house, Bishop Moore. God bless you. Bless you. So glad to see you again. It's been a number of years. And we salute and celebrate First Lady Joyce Moore. You're doing a great job. Doing a great job. I want to take a moment and thank the Lord for my husband, Apostle Henry B. Alexander. I'm sure most of you don't know him. He not only pastors the church in Rancho Cucamonga, but about 20, 22 years ago, the Lord directed him to establish Shield of Faith Fellowship of Churches International, and we have been all over God's creation, preaching in churches, and I must have made at least 20 trips to Africa. We have churches all throughout Africa, and I just want to tell you this to give God the glory. Recently, God blessed us to move into Pakistan, if you can believe, and we have now over 150 churches in Pakistan that belong to Shield of Faith. And we have not been to Pakistan yet because we thought it was dangerous. But recently, Pastor Karam, who is our head pastor in Pakistan, told us, no, you can come to Karachi and it'll be safe for you. So we're looking at that. I don't know. I'm close to 75 now, and all these international trips are a bit much. But we are believing God. We have churches in Europe. We have churches in Mexico. We have churches throughout the world and all across America. So the Lord has been very good to us. I salute him. I thank the Lord for Minister Anitra Yarbrough, who came with me. And we would have had more that came with me, but we're doing something actually today at the fellowship level, Pastors and Leaders Institute, that we're doing. It's actually online, and I would have been a part of that, but my husband wants, he wanted all the people there to be a part of that. So it's just Anitra and I with you today, but maybe next time we can bring more people. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment and pray right now. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you for the atmosphere that's been set in this place. It is just wonderful. Thank you, musician, minstrel,
brother.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to all of you excellent and beautiful ladies, I celebrate you today. I want you to know that you are loved. You are loved by the Lord. You're loved by Bishop and First Lady Moore. And I love you. And I don't even know you, but I know that you're wonderful. So let's take a moment and pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, because you are altogether beautiful. You are lovely in every way. And Lord, we bless you this day. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this group of women that are gathered here in your house. Lord, we pronounce a blessing on them. Lord God, meet the need where they're at. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, breathe on your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let your will be made known, Lord God. Speak to these precious, precious women. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got two scriptures, and I'll go quickly to those scriptures. They're found in the book of Matthew. One is Matthew 17 and verse 20, and it reads, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And then if you can go back two chapters, if you happen to have your Bible, if you're reading with me, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 30. So that's just a few scriptures there. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21, and we'll read down to verse 30. And it reads, "Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." I'll finish with that. Thank you. All right. Thank you for standing. God bless you. Probably you're not accustomed to that. We stand for the reading of God's word, so it's not a problem, but thank you. I know that today your theme is about living with purpose, and you're probably wondering why the selection of those scriptures. Well, I have to deliver what God has given me and also tie it into your theme. And I want to tell you that purposeful living usually begins with a burden. Living with purpose is your theme. Well, we've got to find out what your purpose is. And a lot of people don't know what their purpose is. But I want you to know that many times God will put a burden on your heart for something. Maybe he wants you to sing. Maybe he wants you to start counseling for post-abortion women. Maybe he wants you to feed the homeless. I don't know. Maybe he wants you to do ministry in the church. Something as simple as cleaning up after service. Whatever it is that God has put on your heart, there is a burden and you feel some form of dissatisfaction, a need, a concern, or a longing, and then there will be a desire to help, to change, to remedy, or rebuild. So then I would have to say to you, what has God been burdening you or talking with you about? What is it that you feel? Do you care about single mothers who are rearing children on their own? Do you care about little children that are being trafficked? What is it that God has given you that you have heartfelt empathy and compassion for? When we feel the burden in our heart and a desire to do something about it, we have to respond. First of all, you've got to hear from God. You've got to know, yes, this is what God is calling me to do. And then you're going to have to exercise some faith. Our work, our destiny, our purpose is going to begin with a step of faith. In order for you to walk with God, fulfill his divine purpose and plan for you, and get out of here, it's going to take some faith. Yes. And I'm telling you, saints of God, I've been in ministry a long time, and I've seen some stuff, and we never in our mind thought that we would go through something as crazy as COVID. We never thought homes would burn down in Altadena and Pacific Palisades. My husband and I, when we first married, moved to Altadena. We own two homes in Altadena. I have relatives that still live in Altadena. We have a church in our fellowship right there on Lake Avenue that burned down because because of these fires. Listen, before we get out of here, saints of God, you're going to go through some things, and it is not over yet. If you think for a moment the trials and the tribulations and the stuff that we've seen is over, please hear me when I tell you, it is not. Matthew 24 tells us that these are the beginnings of sorrows. Listen, you're going to have to hold on to the Lord. You're going to have to believe God. When trials and tribulations come, you're going to have to stand strong. And whatever God has given you to do, whatever your purpose is, whatever it is His plan is for your life, there's going to be opposition, and you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to hold yourself strong in faith.
Amen.
Not all of us have the same equal measure of faith.
Right.
But whatever it is, whatever purpose, whatever ministry, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is, you're going to have strong faith to get through here right about now.
Yes.
Now, in these two scriptures that I read to you, in this first one, Matthew 17 and 20, it reads, "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Listen, extreme situations require extreme measures. And listen, in that story, what is going on? A man brought his son who continued to have spells and epileptic seizures to Jesus. Actually, brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it. And Jesus rebuked them and said, "Because of your unbelief, how is it that you couldn't deliver this man's son? Why is it?" Well, they had inadequate faith. But today, ladies, we're going to rise up, and one fine gentleman, and we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Listen, what is this passage saying? First of all, I want to tell you that the Bible here says, faith as a grain of mustard seed. I took the time and went through a number of concordances. And a concordance gives you the background information of words written in God's Bible. And the word "as" in most of those concordances means like. It doesn't have anything to do with the size of the mustard seed. For years we were taught if you had enough faith the size of a mustard seed. But that, I believe, is not what the Lord is trying to get across. What He's trying to say, if you have faith like or similar to a mustard seed, then you'll be able to speak to this mountain and it will be removed. So what does that mean? What is He saying? What is a mustard seed like? It is a hard seed. It's a seed of endurance. It's a seed that can go through a flood. You can roll over mustard seeds with a bulldozer, and it still can be picked up, planted, and grow. Listen, what am I telling you? It's a seed that can endure. It's a seed that goes through seasons and seasons. In 1857, there was a man by the name of Francis Bacon, and he talked about the mustard seed, and he's not referring to the Bible. He was an agriculturist, and what he said was, he said that the mustard seed could endure cold, and it could go through extreme periods of heat. He said it was a hardy seed. Listen, this seed comes back year after year. It doesn't have to be replanted. It regenerates itself. It doesn't die like other seeds. And this man, Mr. Barnes, also notes it was a strong seed. It seemed to endure all kinds of adverse effects. And even the commentary by Clark in the Bible says it refers to the greatest of faith. The greatest of faith is like a mustard seed. What does that mean for us today? It is not the weak faith. that's going to get the blessing. It is the faith that is strong. It is the faith that endures. It is the faith that lasts under obstacles, under oppression, under difficulties. And listen, let me stop one more time and tell you, I've been a pastor's wife, a bishop's wife for a long time now, and I've seen some stuff in my days, and I have never seen the saints go through what they're going through now. Every single one of you's got a story. Every single one of you's got a challenge in your life. Every single one of you has suffered the loss of a loved one. Some of you are dealing with health issues that you never thought that you would have to go through. And I'm telling you that in this day and hour, your faith better be strong. You've got a destiny to fulfill in the Lord, and you're going to have to be strong. Listen, what is this about? This mustard seed faith, this seed can endure the flood. It can endure the fire. It can endure the storm. What am I telling you? Faith that will believe in the face of opposition. And faith that will pray. Faith that will pray. Faith that will pray. And keep believing and speaking.
Yes, God.
Truth.
Yes.
Now let me speak to you also about this scripture. Jesus, these are the words of the Lord. It says, if you shall say unto this mountain, remove to yonder place. Listen, God showed me something years and years ago about this scripture. There is another scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. It mirrors this one. Whosoever shall speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth whatsoever he saith, he shall have those things that he saith. I want to share something with you. This will help you. Years ago, we owned a home in Claremont. It was a nice little community. We had a little circle drive in front of our house. And God showed me a picture of a 5-ton boulder sitting in my driveway. We couldn't run the car through. The children couldn't play in the front yard. It was in the way. It was ugly. It was an obstacle. But it was a mountain sitting there in my front yard. And God showed me that if I went out there every day with a pickaxe and began to pick away at that 5-ton boulder, that I could remove that thing out of my front yard. That's what I began to understand. Every time if you speak to that mountain in your life, every time you are using a pickaxe and you're bringing it down bit by bit, destroying it. Now, if I only speak to that mountain once a week, it's going to take me years to get rid of that mountain in my front yard. But suppose I speak to it 40 times in a day. Imagine that I've gone out with a pickaxe and I've picked away at it and I've picked away at it, and I'm telling that mountain, you better get off my front lawn. I command you to get out of my life. I command you to be gone. I command you to go to the sea and remain there. That thing is going to leave. It will leave because I have the power to speak it into existence. And if I don't have the power, I can at least do what I need to do with a pickaxe. Come on. Ladies, you've got to believe God. You've got to believe God. What am I telling you? Right now, I want to show you something from the Word of God. Let's do a comparison of how an English bulldog is like a mustard seed. Bulldogs have a reputation. Oh, yeah, they're kind of cute. They got some wrinkles. But I want you to know that's not what bulldogs are known for. They're known for their tenacity. They're known for their absolute resolution. That once they get something in their mouth, their jaws clamp down, and you are not going to get it back. Oh, today, ladies, we've got to have bulldog faith. Woo! You've got to know that God is on your side. You've got to clamp your jaws down on something that God gave you to do. And no matter if I pull at it, I'm not letting it go. No matter if we kick the back hinds of the dog, we're not letting go of this thing. Bulldog faith is where I stand resolute. I will give in. I will not cower to opposition. I will not grow weak in spite of trials and tribulations. Yes, I've got a purpose. Yes, I've got a destiny. Yes, God has given me something to do. But I want you to know right now, somebody's going to say something to you. Are you going to back up? And maybe that government agency is not going to issue you the license. Are you going to back up, go home, sit down, cry, and start giving up? What are you going to do with what God gave you to do? Listen, the enemy doesn't want you to do it. He's going to create every kind of diversion possible, but you are going to manifest bulldog faith. You're going to believe God. Oh, I want you to know that the jaw muscles of an English bulldog are so strong. But Pedigree database tells us that they can exceed over 305 pounds of pressure.
My God.
If you got something in your home and that dog picked it up, you might as well say goodbye, because it's not going to let it go. Little Poochie is going to hold on to that thing and hold on to that thing and hold on and hold on. Listen, we're calling this bulldog faith. Now, I want you to know that I preached a sermon similar to this about 12 years ago on the faith of a bulldog. A bulldog faith is a type of faith that involves tenacity, the quality displayed by someone who just won't quit. I'm not going to give up. If God gave me something to do, I'm going to complete it. And listen, Bishop and First Lady Moore, I know already when God called you to start a church, there was opposition. I know already that people, voices have spoken against you. But oh, if God gave it to you, we're resolute. Oh, we're going to clamp down with our jaws. And we're going to hold on to what God gave us. And we're going to fulfill God's will in our life. No matter what the devil employs, no matter what he does, no matter how he tries to stop, and he is going to try to stop.
Jesus.
Bulldogs are stubbornly aggressive. They're persistent and determined, and they will not quit. They will not quit. People who have bulldog faith are people who knew they heard from God. Are you sure you heard from God? Do you know for sure what God called you to do? Did you talk to your pastor about it? Did you ask God to make it very, very clear? And once he's made it clear, then I'm going to stand with my feet on this ground. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, we're going to keep believing God. We're going to keep believing God. We need the Lord in our life. Despite opposition, despite the odds, despite the lies that people are telling about us, we're going to believe God. We're not going to let God's word, his will, or his divine purpose be left. We're going to fulfill it. In other words, you got to believe God. You got to believe God for your healing. You've got to believe God that your marriage will be restored. You've got to believe that there is a job waiting for you. I don't care what the economy says. If you're on the Lord's side, he's going to make a way for you. Oh, pastors, you got to believe that God is going to bless your church. I don't care what's in the building fund account. If it's time for you to grow, if it's time for you to move to another place, the Lord is going to make a way. And I don't care what the city of El Cajon or Rancho Cucamonga or any other city says, God is going to put it in place. Stand firm and believe God. I will not be moved. I will not give in. I will not cave in. I will not go home and get a towel and have big tears of self-pity. I won't keep believing God. We have an enemy that wants to distract us. We have an enemy that doesn't want us to have everything God has for us. We have an enemy that's going to do everything he can. He's going to put pressure on us. Disappointment. And I don't know what First Lady went through or what she's been through in the last couple weeks, but I kind of heard from her, and she didn't say anything, but I kind of felt some pressure there. And I want to assure you, I've been through some stuff.
Yes.
Believe me, if I really told you, I would sit right here and cry. But nonetheless, no matter what's going on, I've got to get up and fulfill my purpose.
Yes.
I've got to do what God gave me to do.
Yes.
I cannot go home and feel sorry for myself. I cannot cave in. I must be about my Father's business. Oh, the Lord, oh, He will undertake for us. He will lift us up as the devil is trying to pull us down. Oh, I want you to know, oh, faith is more than believing. It's an action word. The very nature of faith is aggressive, persistent, and commanding. Faith moves things. Faith changes things. Faith changes the atmosphere. Faith changes a person's heart and mind. Oh, you're going to somebody and they don't care about you, but you keep believing God, and God is able to change their very nature. He's able to move in their life. When they said no to you, now they're saying yes, because the Lord is changing things. In 1 Peter 6 and 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Come on, ladies, you've got to fight. You've got to fight. Listen, this is not about you sitting up and watching the TV. It's not about you checking the internet. It's about you opening your mouth. And it's about you standing in a place of steadfastness. I will not cave in. I will not give in to you, devil. I'm going to fight you to the very end. I want to be like those in the hall of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. Many of them went to their graves yet believing God. And some of us are going to go to our graves yet believing God. Nonetheless, I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to let God move in my life. I'm going to let faith be the predominant notary of things that I am. What I am, Lord, please let me be known as a woman of faith.
Yes.
A woman of faith.
Yes.
If you take a good look at the face of a bulldog, you'll find that the jaw jutters out, that the mouth recedes, and because of that, God allowed them to have the ability to have such a strong bite. I want you to know that God gave you in His Word every key, every tool, every gifting. He's given it to you so you can fight this battle. You've got to exercise it. And I what I found is many times people just go home and sit. They just go home. Call up their friend. Tell them what's going on. But they don't really exercise faith. Listen, faith is between you and God. And listen, you absolutely have to open your mouth. You are going to have to fight. You're going to have to tell the devil, get out of my life. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could really explain to you. A number of years ago, snakes started showing up at our house. There was something diabolical going on. There was one in the middle of the street, dead, run over by a car. I didn't know what that was about. And then there was a python that showed up. Oh, I won't even go into what that was about. And I went to the mailman and I said, what is going on here? Listen, we've been living here for 15 years and I've never seen any snakes. Have you seen any snakes? He said, no, except in your mailbox. I went to your mailbox one time, opened it to put the mail in, and there was a snake, a rattlesnake in your mailbox. And I had to go get the gardener to get it out and kill it. And I began to wonder, what is going on? And then about a month later, another huge snake with his head cut off showed up on our lawn. And I went out, and there it was. That's when I thought, this is about me. This is not about my husband. Didn't really face him. I was the one freaking out. That's when I opened my mouth and I said, devil, you better get off my lawn. You better get off my property. You better not ever come back. You better not ever come back on this property. Don't you ever bring this mess, this diabolical craziness to me. And I have to tell you, it's never come back. But listen, ladies, you wake up. And you're going to have to understand that the enemy is after you. And there is a charge. There is an assignment. There is a sign on you. He wants to destroy you. But you've got to stand strong. You've got to believe God. You've got to exercise your faith. Listen, no matter what happens, oh, the doctor may say, no, it's not going to happen. The doctor may tell you, no, you'll never have a baby. The doctor may say, you'll never walk again. Your employer might say, no, there's not a raise for you. Your employer might say, no promotions. But oh, my goodness, what does the Lord say? What does His Word say? Are we going to stand on it? Are we going to believe it? Are we going to be profound? Listen, I am saved. I am healed. I am prosperous. I'm a Christian warrior. I've got all power in my hands. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do these things. I can do them because I belong to the Lord. Listen, ladies, today is that day. Now, we read the scripture in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 30. We went to 28. And this is a profound scripture, and I really want you to get this. If I have to stop and teach, I'm going to do that. I want you to hear this. The Lord is traveling. He's traveling far into northern Israel, up close to Lebanon. And there was a city, two cities called Pi and Sidon. And there was a woman there who was a Gentile woman. She was a Canaanite woman. And she comes to Jesus and she's crying. And she says to him, she honors him by Son of David, O King, Son of David. Listen, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus did not answer. Now, what would that mean to you, ladies? If God has given you something to do, a purpose, a ministry, and you go to fulfill it, and somebody won't talk to you, I don't know who that person would be, but they're not talking to you. But listen, watch this. The Bible says that the disciples came to Jesus and implored Jesus to send the woman away. Jesus did not do that. He just ignored her. And so what does she do? What does she do? She says, please hear me. Please, my daughter is grievously vexed. I've come to you. I want her to be healed. And Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What? First of all, you ignore me. Now you tell me I'm not good enough. I am not good enough. I didn't come to your kind. I did not come to you as a Gentile. I only came to the people of Israel. Ladies, come on. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing this?
Yes.
How would you feel if somebody said that to you? You would feel bad, but I'm telling you, after today's message, I want you to write it on the wall. I want you to write it on the mirror. I want you to put a note on the refrigerator and say, I don't care what anybody says about who I am. I am saved. I belong to the Lord. I am His daughter. And so as the scripture goes on, the disciples were aggravated. They were irritated. And he goes on, and again he says, I didn't come to you. I'm not thinking about you. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me. Yes. Now she's been ignored. Some of you won't be ignored.
That's right.
Yes. She's been disregarded.
Uh-huh.
She's been considered not good enough. Uh-huh. And people in society do that to you.
Yes.
People do that to you. She could have left. She's been hurt, but what does she do? She knelt and worshiped. She got on her knees, the Bible said, and began to worship the Lord. She worshiped with all of her heart. She worshiped, and she began crying. And with strong admonition, she said, help me. And Jesus replied, now watch this. What does he do? He replies and says, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What? You're now calling me a dog? You ignored me, you've disregarded me, you've undermined me, and now I'm considered a dog. But what does she do? She lets her bulldog faith rise up. I don't care what you call me. I came here because I want something out of you, and I will not be deterred. I will not leave until I get what I need from you. And what does she do? Yes, truth, Lord. But the dogs eat from the master's table. And Jesus said, that's it. That is just it. This woman has great faith. We're going to give her what she wants. Listen, ladies, today, you need to have great faith. You came here because God wants to impart in you a measure greater than what you had in your faith walk. He wants you to know that he's on your side. And even though for a little while he may ignore you, I know sometimes I pray and I don't hear from God right away, but it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love me. And it doesn't mean that he's not on my side. It just means that I've got to wait. But he's going to come through for me. He's going to make a way for me. And I know God does not consider me a dog. And he's not going to undermine me. He's not going to disregard me. Do you want Jesus to say, you faithless and perverse generation?
No.
Or would you rather him say, great is your faith?
Yes.
Great is your faith. Ladies, you won't have to stand strong these days. This is no joke where we're at.
Yes.
Some serious business.
Yes.
And the enemy knows his time is short.
Yes.
And he's doing everything he can to undermine and discourage the saints of God. If I told you what Anitra is going through, she's got her hands full. If I told you some of the things we're going through, can I tell you what we suffered during COVID? We lost hundreds of members. We lost a 34,000 square foot facility. No, things are not what they used to be, but we're going to still stand strong and do what God told us to do. And every single one of you, you've got a ministry. You've got something that God wants you to do for him. There's somebody that needs you. There's somebody that needs your word, somebody that needs your encouragement. And the devil is going to do everything he can to dissuade you, to get you to stop, to feel sorry for yourself, to go home and say, I can't do that anymore. This just isn't working. Oh yeah, you stand up, put your feet on the ground, put your shoulders and back and say, it will work in the name of Jesus. God is going to make a way for me. It's not hopeless. The Lord is on my side. I've got destiny. I've got purpose. I've got something to do for the Lord. I want to finish with a scripture, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but it's found in Luke chapter 18, and it's verses 1 through 8, and I'm going to recount to you what that passage of scripture says. And it says, he spoke a parable unto them, and there was a man in a city who was a judge, and there was a woman that came to him day after day and said, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what she was really asking for. Just, I need you to do something for me. And he is saying, I'm not going to do it. She comes the next day. I need you to do something for me. I will not be deterred. I will not change my mind. I need you, Lord, the judge, to move on my behalf. And after a while, the judge says, look, woman, I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of your problem, and I don't care about you. I don't fear God. I don't regard man, but you're getting on my nerve. I want you to get out of my courtroom. I want you to leave me alone. Yeah, I'm going to act on your behalf, not because I care about you or God or anything else. You just get on my nerves. But the scripture goes on to say, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night? Sisters, I'm telling you right now, I hear some of you, a few of you, crying to God. You want God to move on your behalf. There is something going on in your home. There is something going on in your marriage. There is something going on with your children. And you're crying to God day and night. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man appears, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man is appearing to rapture us up out of here, will he find faith on the earth? Now, ladies, listen, let me really help you here. It's good to have a ministry. It's good to have purpose. It's good to have destiny. But listen, if you don't believe God, if you don't put your feet down and say, I'm going to stand firm, I'm going to hold on to the Lord no matter what we have to go through. And listen, you don't know what this year holds. You don't know what next year holds. You don't know what's on the horizon. But one thing we must be resolute about in our mind is, I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill your will in my life. I'm going to be evangelistic. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to open an office. I'm going to do this ministry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to assist my pastor. Whatever I need to do and whatever's going on in the community, it does not matter, because I am absolutely determined to fulfill God's will in my life. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He's not looking to find somebody sitting at home with a big washcloth crying crocodile tears. He's not looking for that. He doesn't feel sorrow for that. But oh, if you'll rise up in faith, that's the person that gets the prize. That's the person that gets the blessing. That's the person that God's going to use. Ladies, I want you to stand up and begin to worship the Lord right now. Stand up and begin to cry out to God. Raise your hands, everybody in this place. Cry out to God. Come on, let those tongues come out. In the name of Jesus. Lord, from this day forward, I absolutely pledge myself to you. I will walk before you. I will be pleasing in your sight. I want to fulfill my destiny. I want to fulfill your desire in me. I will do it, Lord. I will do it. No matter what the devil does, no matter what he tries to do to discourage me, I will not be discouraged. Come on, every single one of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe the Lord showed me several people who have back problems and you're in pain. Who are those individuals? Come up here so we can pray for you. You're having back difficulties. Your back is giving you trouble, whatever. Automobile accident, surgery, slip disc, whatever it is. Who is that lady? Is that you? No? Okay. Who is that? Is that you? Come. I know God showed me that somebody needs healing in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do we have blessed oil? Okay, get it. Are you in pain right now? Which arm? You believe God?
Yes.
Who believes God? Father God, in the name of Jesus, for my sister, I pray right now. I pray, Lord God. Oh, God, Lord God.
God. No more pain. We command the pain to come out of her shoulder. We command her to be whole. Every way whole, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let that sound in your mouth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sweetheart, where are you hurting? Your shoulder too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How long has it been that way? Okay. Is the doctor wanting to do surgery? Okay, what do you want? All right.
I believe God. I believe God. I believe God.
My God, my God.
Can you raise your hand as much as you can? That's good. You don't have to raise it anymore. Because God's going to do a healing here. He's going to do a healing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, she has suffered this tear. Oh, God, she's in pain. She's suffering, Lord God. The doctor wants to do surgery. I pray in the name of Jesus. A miracle, Lord God. A miracle, Lord God. She has not won surgery, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. As much as possible. Can you move your arm around? More around, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's getting stronger. Yes. Is the pain gone? In the name of Jesus, I command the pain to leave. I command the inflammation to be gone. Oh, Father, every muscle, every ligament, every tendon, we command this body to come in line according to the word of God. Oh, God, do a miracle. Do a healing right now. In the name of Jesus, this is your daughter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Try it again. Try it again. Yes. Yeah. It's not near as stiff. Hallelujah. Is the pain gone? Not quite. Come on, saints of God. I need you to pray with me. I command this pain. You've got to go. The blood of Jesus speaks to it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, this is your daughter. Oh, Father, heal her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She doesn't want surgery. So, Lord, we're going to depend on you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stay there. Just stay there and just worship him. Hallelujah. 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 spoken in tongues in a long time. Make your way up here because God's got a blessing for you. Who is it that you need a touch from the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't believe this sister is the only one. I believe that there's somebody else that needs a touch from the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.